Hey, this is JW Oliver with another Do Hard Stuff. And today is really cool because I have Rick, who I work with. And Rick Johnson has his mother on here today, Tina. Hi, Tina. And we have the most amazing story. I'm telling you, this is one of those. I think Rick has probably had to tell me this story like four times, but it's one of the most amazing stories of not only reconciliation, but going through some really hard stuff to try to get where Rick is at today. And Rick's in Dallas, Texas area. And so, Rick, thanks for joining on doing this.
Yeah. Thanks, JW. As always, appreciate the opportunity to share the story. Love sharing the story. I think we all have human interest stories, and it's just sometimes a matter of taking time, to kind of share that with one another. But the reason I love to share this story is because of what you said, reconciliation and the miracle worker that we have in our Lord and how he's able to facilitate these miracles on his time. So let me kind of date it back. So as I date myself, born in 1970 in Saigon, Vietnam. My father, John Johnson, fought in the war as a Marine, born in Frankfurt, Germany. Met this beautiful young lady when he was in Vietnam. And fast forward to 1975, unfortunately, with the fall of Saigon, my mother made the ultimate sacrifice for the benefit of me to have more opportunity. And that's to let go of me in the fall of 1975 to go to the United States with my father. Because there would be more opportunities for me. So during, gosh, quite a long stretch
So
of time,
you were about five then, right? When
about
this
five,
all happened. Yes.
yeah,
So
about
can you
five.
remember all of these things happening at that time? You have a little memory of that?
You know what? It's interesting, JW. I really don't recall that much. However, when I went back for the first time to visit, which was 2004, some of the smells that triggered some memories. I was able to kind of bridge
Wow.
some things, like getting on helicopters to go to certain places. And then having conversations with my mom, where she was able to share some of those things, started to kind of bridge some things together. But outside of that, didn't really have a lot of solid memories.
Well, and back up just a little bit. Your mom and dad met. She was working on the military base, correct?
Yes.
As a
And what were you
bookkeeper.
doing as a oh, bookkeeping.
I'm bookkeeper, yeah. I
Okay.
work in a wing club warehouse.
Okay, in
I'm
the
bookkeeper.
warehouse. And where was
And
what year did you meet Rick's dad? What year did y'all meet?
I work in a First Marine Air Wing Club.
First Marine Air Wing. Very cool.
Yeah, wing club, yeah.
Around 1960.
I think it's a long time. See, 19, yeah, 60, I don't remember
68
because,
or something, maybe.
have to be right on top.
Okay. And then Rick, kind of take us from. So you were one of the last ones out in the fall of Saigon, right? I mean, really, you were in that later group, I presume.
That's right. That's right. And, interesting enough, after kind of finding more information out, my mother and father at that particular time, unfortunately, were starting to separate as well. So as she made the ultimate sacrifice for me versus, keeping me there, which as an American born to a GI and half Vietnamese, when the North Vietnamese came in, they probably would have taken my life first, right? So she is, I owe my life to her. Outside of just the ultimate sacrifice. And so the stretch of 1975 through 1995, which is 20 years, had no contact at all with my mother. Moved around numerous places because my father was military aviation. So we moved around a lot of places, both in the US as well as internationally. And I just never had contact with her. It was a topic that my father did not want to discuss with me, and it was something that as a young kid you have other things going on. You don't realize the importance of it, right? So in the fall of 1995, I received this interesting call from a lady out of Tennessee who was working for kind of like a missing persons agency, and said, "Hey, Are you Ricky Johnson? Were you born in Saigon, Vietnam, July 15, 1970? Is your social security number, yada, yada? I'm like, oh, this is kind of awkward. I don't owe anybody money. I'm not in trouble with the law. What's going on? She said, well, I know the whereabouts of your mother. If
Wow.
you would love the opportunity to speak with her. And I was speechless. I didn't know if this lady was a fraud or she's telling me the truth. And she said, well, what I'd like to do is arrange for you to speak to your aunt, which would have been my mother's sister-in-law, who actually moved from Vietnam to the States at that particular time, was living in Pennsylvania, I think. I think she was living in Pennsylvania. And she said she is the one that has really kind of carried on this search for your mother to find you. And so it was in that fall of 1995, a year before I married my wife, Lisa, that I was able to, they scheduled a call. She was going to go to a convenience store, had to call at a particular time, a particular number. And that was our first interaction over 20 years via a phone call. And JW was, there weren't a lot of words outside of a lot of crying. And, you know, I love you. Can't believe this is happening. It was absolutely
Wow.
Just moving. Yeah, moving to say the least.
Yeah, and let me also state that you're an only child, right? You're your mother's only child. Isn't that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Tina only has one child, and here he had been missing Rick. You had 25 years, right? You're now 25, roughly years old, and just imagine. I can't imagine your Tina. You didn't know whether Rick was safe or you know, had passed away or didn't want to speak to you or was mad at you or could have been a number of things. But so that your aunt was the one who initiated the call to kind of track you down.
Right. Yes, that's how it happened. And you know, one thing that my mother has said from that day is like every day was a prayer for the miracle. That one day she would be reunited with her son, and never lost her faith in that. And you know, she knew that the commitment of the Lord would facilitate that over time on his time. Now,
my parents do that for me too. You know, they greet, you know, so much.
Wow. I can't imagine the emotions Tina must have had 25 years later. You're on the phone at a convenience store or a little store, and you're actually speaking to your son. That had to be powerful.
Everything you don't hear.
The Lord's amazing, isn't he? Yeah. Wow. Just unbelievable. So Rick, did you then start scheduling like regular calls to speak with her?
Well, it's interesting, you know, at that particular time, JW, really we didn't have email, cell phones, and all that stuff, right? So you're absolutely right. Coordination of, hey, let's plan to have a call at this date and time. But there was more correspondence with just mail, because it was very expensive to call at that time internationally, right? We don't have Skype and WhatsApp and all of these video services now. So different
day
and time.
It could be a couple of dollars a minute just to call.
Oh,
yeah, it was very expensive. Yeah.
Yeah. Before, you know, very expensive.
Yeah.
And my house, we don't have no phone. Before, we don't have no phone. I have to go to the, you know, in the neighborhood. They got the phone.
And your English was pretty good then too, because you had worked on the Army base, correct?
Yeah.
Or the military, Marine base. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's incredible. So Rick, what happened at that point? I mean, how long did that continue with just the phone calls back and forth and the letters before you started to look into some additional action to get where you're at today?
Yeah. So there was, you know, there was a series of events that, you know, hey, do you want to come to the States? You know, are you comfortable leaving? You know, let's start the process of filling out paperwork. And, you know, there were some missteps along the way. One, I did not get an immigration attorney. I tried to do it myself. Secondly, unfortunate events of 9/11 happened, which, as you can imagine, slowed everything down. And then also the mistake of trying to get her here on a tourist visa, which they denied because she's considered high risk. She never remarried. never had any kids. So she doesn't have property in Vietnam, so to speak. So she's a flight risk, right, so to speak. So what really facilitated the opportunity for us to reunite, meet in person first, was in 2004. I was doing some outsourcing work in the Philippines. So I'm on that side of the world. What a great opportunity to go to Vietnam and visit my mother for the first time since 1975, 29 years later, seeing each other in person. A surreal moment, one of those kind of life-changing moments again, outside of having, getting married, having children, speaking to your mother 25 years later, and then actually seeing her 29 years later. Time just stood still when I got out of that airport and went through immigration and customs and to see her. It was amazing, absolutely amazing.
Well, I'm sure you both remember that moment vividly. You can probably see that and remember that. I get a little emotional thinking about it myself, just imagining, 29 years away from your mother and 29 years apart from your son, that had to be some kind of a reunion.
It was phenomenal, JD. It was one of those moment in times where things, everything was kind of in slow motion. So when I went through the, kind of the doors open, it was really interesting because I've done a lot of international traveling like yourself, and sometimes places are very chaotic, right? But what I noticed about coming out in this kind of, waiting areas, everybody was kind of seemingly like sitting in like in rows, just waiting for, and all of a sudden, I could hear Ricky, Ricky, my son, and like everybody parted. And she's just running, I'm running, and it was absolutely phenomenal. Forever ingrained in my mind, just that memory.
Well, and what did you think, Tina, when you saw him for the first time in 29 years?
I can believe, and I can. I'm very, very happy. It's just.
Oh, I can imagine. Wow, that's just, I mean, that's, and I tell Rick all the time, that this is one of the most incredible stories, because nobody has a story. We've all been through hard different times and different obstacles, but not seeing your mom or not seeing your son for 29 years is and knowing they're alive too, right? And knowing you don't know how to facilitate that. So Rick, you this was 2004. You've reunited for the first time. What was the process from that? How did you maneuver forward? How long did you stay the first time when you were there?
I think 2 weeks, and I think I made one more trip after that. And then, as through this period of time, which was in 2004, continued with the paperwork process, and even wrote to my senator, even emailed Oprah Winfrey, thinking it was a good feel good story. She could, make some things happen for me, but a lot of dead ends. But again, on the Lord's time, everything got approved and granted, and went back. It was 1 month before our youngest, Jace, was born in 2007. He was 1 month when she. I actually traveled back to Vietnam so I could travel with her to the States.
Jace was born, and then you traveled back to, at that point, to go bring her back to here. You had a visa now.
That's right. So she arrived here in the States. We were living in Hickory Creek. Jace was 1 month. So what it's going on, she's been here 16 years now, right? And I just re it's real interesting, JW, of the three kids, there's definitely a unique bond and relationship she has with Jace, because she's able to bridge the years that were lost with me. So she loves all her grandkids, but you can definitely tell there's a unique
When I've been in that state, he only 1 month, then I take care of him. Can you believe it? I forget how the Jenny died, but he said, "Mom, you don't
I
know
never thought
how
about that, but that he what?
the Jenny died." Jay, he close to me because I take care of him, and always. Can
Well,
you
yeah,
believe me?
I didn't think about that, but that was somewhat of a surrogate, a replacement for Rick, right? He's not there, and so yeah, you got to raise his. Wow, that's even. I don't think I remember that part, but that was another powerful part of that story, right? Of going through that as well. Now, Did she just, I know the story now. I'm gonna let Rick tell it what she does now, because talk about when did she get start working, and then also when did she get her citizenship as well?
It's wanted her to not do anything when she got here, right? Has lived a pretty hard life. There's a lot that happened even living in Saigon when North Vietnamese came in and lost her sister and changed currency two or three times. There's so much that she endured. So what we wanted to provide was just enjoy life now. Got your
Stability,
grandkids,
yeah.
but still in her, she just wanted to work and have money not only to help family but send money back. And so she got her first job at Walmart, in facilities engineering, which is a janitor.
What year was this?
gosh, how long you been at Walmart? Since 2010,
Oh,
almost?
15 years.
No. At Walmart.
At Walmart, yeah.
No, you didn't start working when you first got here,
Oh, no,
sweetie.
no. Almost. I say almost.
Yeah.
I've
Maybe
been in
14
a
years,
state.
13,
No,
14 years.
14. Okay.
14
Oh,
years. I remember I got a
you got the
call
pin.
about
That's right.
15 years. 15 years, yeah.
But you've been working there for 15, 16 years, and but you began to work. I mean, she wanted to work, right? She could have just stayed home, and but she wanted to work and make her own money and have her own system. So, and then when did she go through and get the citizenship?
I think it was 5 years
Five years.
later. 5 years,
Five
you have to be
years.
here 5 years and had to take the testing and all that stuff. And so a proud moment for her. I don't know, she loves the U.S. She loves for what it stands for, and the opportunity to come here and be in the land of freedom for sure. So.
Almost
So Tina,
99%.
what's that?
Almost 99% of Vietnamese people want to go to the United States.
I can imagine. Yeah. What was that like when you got your when you finished you had to say the words to become a citizenship? How did that make you feel when they handed you those naturalization or those certificate?
How did you
What
feel
were you
when they handed
excited?
it? I'm excited, Yeah, I'm very happy. I'm excited to be the citizen.
Well, and if you in what really true immigration looks like, right? There was a compelling factor. Obviously, your mom would have had a difficult time in Vietnam continuing to sustain herself as you get older and unable to work, and family, you know, there's not much family there. And then being able to come here and now and be a tax-paying citizen is a huge piece. That's what made America great. It was people like Tina coming over, working hard, contributing to the economy, and really making a difference, not becoming a burden on society, but becoming an interactive part of that as well. So, and now drive to work, right? I mean, got her own car too.
Has her own car, drives to work, very independent. Doesn't put a lot of miles on her vehicle, by the way. I mean, it's about 5 miles to and from to Walmart, and then to church is probably 10 miles once a week to and from. So, didn't put a lot of miles on the car, but she's self-sufficient for sure.
Well, I know you've told me some stories, Tina, and Rick has too, but I'm guessing that you were probably, if not the best, one of the best employees that Walmart has, would be my guess.
Oh, my store manager, she loved me. All my managers, they all love me because they say, Tina, you're the hard work. It's a
And the and your and the customers like you because you smile like you are right now, you're happy, and you're
I'm
always
happy.
smiling as well.
I'm happy with you.
Wow. Well, this is just one of those truly amazing stories of reconciliation and really God being in control an understanding that God's never early, he's never late, he's right on time. And I think this is an example of those pieces. You know, Rick, after you've told me this, now I've kind of gone, well, maybe, yes, maybe you could have brought your mom over sooner, maybe 10 years earlier or whatever, right? But just the piece of Jace being able to come over at that very moment with Jace, that was just God's timing to put you in that position to bring her over. So, just what an amazing, I mean, truly, like, one of my favorite stories that I like to hear, and it's really a good, and you do need to be on Oprah. Oprah should bring you on right away. it's one of those truly great stories. Well, Rick, Tina, anything you want to add before we go?
Anything you want to share before?
Anything you want to say?
I just say thankful God, and thankful that everything. I'm a citizen, I'm getting a line right now. Thank God.
Citizen, job, yeah. You're with your son and his family. So, yeah, that's just absolutely amazing.
I'm very happy now.
Wow, what a great story. Rick, anything to add?
No, just thank you for the opportunity to share the story. Always love sharing it. I think there's, like I said, I think people have stories to share. Sometimes we just don't take the time to listen and slow down and learn a little bit about each other. But quite a unique story. I think there's others probably like mine that haven't been shared. But just another just miracle, amazing, amazing miracle to be able to reunite with my mother.
Well, and I would go on to say that there are a lot of stories like that, but for me, it also helps me to understand. I mean, I came from a divorced family and dad left us and we were very, very poor and, we had struggles, right? But we all have a story. But the moment that you think that your story is more difficult than somebody else's story, a story like Rick and Tina come up and like, okay, well, I didn't have that story, And so it just makes you give God the praise for all the blessings we have today. Rick and I work together. We've got a wonderful company that we're able to work with and see grow and give back to ministries and events. And it's just nice to be in a situation where you hear other people's stories, you understand where they came from. What do they say? You need to walk a mile in my shoes, right? And I think this is examples of walking in somebody's shoes. So, Tina, thank you. This was fantastic to have you on here as well. Do you have to work today?
No, today I'm off. I'm start work tomorrow. I work on Sunday,
back to
Monday.
Work.
Sunday, I go to
off
church.
Off on Sunday, Monday.
Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. And well, thank you for jumping on here with us. I really mean that. It was Rick knows how much I love your story and how much I enjoy hearing it. And Rick, thanks for taking the time to get your mom on here. And Rick told me she was worried about what she was going to wear, and I was like, just show up, you'll be good. But you look beautiful, Tina. You look beautiful.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for that. Listen to that. Thank you.
You bet. Well, hey everyone, thanks a bunch. This is talk about doing hard stuff. Rick did the hard stuff. That was a trial and error, and now you are reconciled. So hey, join us for another one in the future. But thanks again for jumping on and do hard stuff.